Welcome to another edition of the Super Flip Podcast, your Robert Ryman of NBA podcasts, because Robert Ryman passed away on Friday, and he was 88 years old, and he was an amazing painter, and he did more with one single color than I could ever do with anything in my entire life. So here you go. Here's my tribute to Robert Ryman. Anyway, what's up, everybody? It's your host, Joe Borelli, and that's right, I'm back on my artist shit. Leave me alone. Coming at you from my studio in Brooklyn, New York. It is Tuesday night, February 12th, 2019. It's gross outside. It's sleeting as I speak to you. I'm getting a cold, not feeling great. And I know I missed last week because I just could not get my shit together. I'm sorry. I know you depend on this podcast. And if I don't keep doing them, you're not going to keep listening. So my apologies. I'm getting better at it. I will get better at this. I will get over my cold and I will bring you great content that you'll love to hear and bring my fun winning attitude to it to boot. Tonight I have Ty Windisch from a whole bunch of stuff on. You'll hear it when he speaks to you about where you can find him. Great guest. We had a fun conversation, talked a lot about the Bucks and Giannis and sporadically mixed in some of my Sixers and Boston hate while we were talking about it. I I'm not going to lie. I hate Boston. I can't stand Boston. I'm over it. I'm sorry. Listen, Boston fans, I'm trying to be good. If anybody in Boston is listening to you, you have to give me at least some credit for admitting that I hate your team, right? I'm trying. There are good things about the Celtics, right? I would definitely give them credit. Whenever I talk to James Hollis when we have the Dunktails, I will speak about the values of the Boston Celtics and the wonderful, great players they have. Right now, I just hate them because they're beating my Sixers again. Anyway, enough about all that. Ways to get in touch with the show. You can tweet at me at Joe Borelli. You can tweet at the show at Superflight Pod. You can email the show at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending the emails, and I swear to God, I will interact and reply to you. And you know what? Send me your questions. Why not? I'll answer stuff on the show for sure. I can turn the opening of the podcast into this long, stupid story that I do every time into a Q&A with you guys. So if you want to send me questions, feel free. Ask me anything. Literally, ask me anything. It doesn't have to be about basketball, because obviously, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I talk about everything but basketball at the opening. So ways to do that. You can get in touch with the show. Email me. You can follow along on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. You can't get it on iHeartRadio because you have to pay for that, and I'm not paying for iHeartRadio. So that means when you say, Alexa, play the Super Flight, it will no longer play the Super Flight because I'm back on my own and super happy about it. But you can still get it on iTunes, Stitcher, all the other ones. And if you go on iTunes, please rate and review. I keep asking you guys this, and I don't know if it's because iTunes is just not working properly or if it's because you guys just aren't putting reviews up there or no one's actually listening to the show, that I'm not getting any new ones. So, you know, please feel free to write. Anyway, so told you what's coming up. Ty's going to come on. We're going to talk about the Bucks. We're going to talk about the AD scandal. We're going to talk about KD's being an idiot, and I'm calling him out for being an idiot. And we're going to talk about, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. I sprinkle some Sixers in here because I just can't stop myself. I'm an obsessed fan. What can I tell you? Before all that, you know, I wanted to say that, like, some of my friends moved out of the city this weekend, and I was really sad to see them go. I've been pretty close with them for a number of years. And you know, they've moved along. They've taken their young daughter and they've moved out of the city, and they've gone to Maine, where they're going to be happy and a happy family. And I'm happy for them, and I'm happy they're moving on in their lives and their careers. And I'm just sad for me because now I have no friends anymore. And because I actually helped them move, and it was rough, and I didn't even do that much, but good God, I didn't realize how fucking out of shape I am. Holy God. I haven't felt this way in a number of years. I used to work and do manual labor, right? Like, from the time I got out of high school until I went to college, because I didn't go to college right away. I was a non-traditional student. I joined the workforce right away, as one does when you're in rural Pennsylvania and you don't know that you can do anything else. Worked at warehouses and stuff. Then I worked at flatbed tractor trailer assembly plant, where I did everything there and welded and did, I did the air brakes and the electrical systems on flatbed trailers. I did all that stuff, made VIN plates. And it was fun. I mean, sort of, for as much as you can have fun at work, but you know, I tried to make it a challenge. And anyway, did that for a number of years. I've done a lot of physical labor over the course of my life. Then when I moved to New York, during grad school and between, you know, in summers in undergrad and a summer in grad school, I needed to make money. So I was a mover. I moved people for a living. Like I worked at this moving company in right outside of Philly. And the one year we moved all of Villanova's dorms in and out, like of their dorms. Like we moved entire dorm sets. It sucked. It was a lot of hard work. It was a very hot summer. And I was taking, you know, beds and all kinds of shit up and downstairs because there was no elevators. There's that. So I've done a lot of physical labor in my life, but in the last several years, I've been doing a desk job and I've been doing like much more mentally challenging things, which I'm happy about. It's very stressful, but it's also, you know, like I don't have to bust my back anymore for a living. I've put in my time. I'm in my 40s now. I don't want to do that shit anymore. But I didn't realize that sitting around at a desk all day will really get you out of shape, even though I still try and, you know, I don't run as regularly as I should. Not nearly as regularly as I should because it's wintertime and I hate running in the cold. But, you know, running keeps your lungs healthy and it keeps your stamina up somewhat. But it does not do anything for lifting things. So lifting credenzas down a 3-flight apartment building with low ceilings and winding staircases, that's rough. It was really rough. I used muscles this weekend that I forgot that I had. Like every part of my body was screaming at me to stop. I was like shaking, lifting things. I'm so out of shape. It's embarrassing. We did one thing. The very first thing we did when I got there was move a credenza, right? Like this big credenza down three flights, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. They're on the third floor, 2 flights of winding stairs. And the stairs are treacherous. They're like, you know what a winding staircase looks like. It's a spiral. Like at one side, there's barely any stair. At the other side, it's a little bit like, not, you know, wider. But you have to be very, very careful walking down these stairs. And we're trying to move this heavy-ass credenza. 3 of us lifted down. Like I'm on one end and the other 2 guys are in the other. So I'm at the top. But bending over like that, my back is still killing me. This is just a complaint. It's just a rambling complaint. This was rough work. The point is, what I'm trying to tell you is, I should probably join a gym. I should probably try and work out regularly. And also, don't get old, kids. Getting old sucks. I know people say this to you all the time. Like, I've heard it from people my entire life. They're like, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. You know, they're just joking around. I'm getting old. No, it's true. Like, this is the first time in my life I can ever remember thinking, holy shit, I can't do this anymore. Like, my body is not going to snap back the way it used to. It was really, really discouraging for me this weekend. But having said all that, I feel a little bit better today. And, you know, life is coming back around. Also, I'm really happy that it was a nice sunny day when we did it instead of like the day that we have today where it's sleeting and freezing cold out. I mean, it was also 27 degrees out that day, but at least it was sunny. So it was all good. Anyway, there's my story. It has nothing to do with anything. I'm going to miss my friends and I'm glad I don't have to move anybody again anytime soon. Next time I move, I'm hiring movers. F that shit. So with that, after this brief musical interlude, we'll be right back.
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. You know, chilling, hanging in, trying to watch the Sixers game.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm talking to you. I'm going to pay attention to you, though. I'm not paying attention to the game.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm recording already, so you want to just jump right into it?
Sure, I'm all set to go. Cool. I'm ready.
All right, man, all right. Ty Windish, welcome to the Super Flight. How are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing well, you know. I can't really complain. There's a snowstorm here in Wisconsin, but I got to work and back safely, so I have no complaints.
Very nice, very nice. There's a sleet storm here in New York, and it sucks.
Ugh.
But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I also got to work and back safe, but I take the train, so it's, you know, not that big of a feat.
Yeah, the underground part, I think, would help a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So you want to talk about some Bucks? We're going to talk about your favorite team. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk some Bucks. I mean, my favorite team, yeah, I would say it's the Bucks. I don't know. I'm pretty impartial as far as it all goes. But, you know, I started doing a Bucks podcast recently, And I feel like since then I've swayed slightly more over to the Bucks side. I think I'm still relatively impartial, but we can call them my favorite team. I think that works.
All right, cool. You know what? Before we do that, why don't you plug your stuff and where everybody can find you?
Oh man, deep breath. Let me inhale quickly. I'm all over at the moment. I write a daily NBA column Monday through Friday called The Whiteboard over at the Step Back. There's a link you can subscribe to that in my Twitter. It's at Ty Windisch, TiWindisch. But that is, I write a little piece every day, original content, and then link to like 5 to 7 of the best things around from the NBA internet from the previous day. So that's a cool thing to check out if you haven't already. And then I do the Eurostep podcast, part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. That's spelled GYRO, Euro, because of course the Giannis Antetokounmpo connection. Mm-hmm. And that's a new Bucks podcast just launched with my buddy Kane Pittman. We're one episode in. It was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to doing more.
Cool. That is a mouthful. Did you get it all out in one breath?
Yeah. You know, I rap in my spare time, so it was no problem. That's not true. That's not true, by the way.
Oh, I was going to say, hit me with a couple bars, man.
No. I'm going to pass on that.
Nice. Anyway, all right, cool. Well, let's talk about your new favorite team, the Bucks. So there's a lot of buzz about Giannis being the MVP, and I just want to pick your brain about it. For me, I actually think he might be the MVP. He's been pretty incredible this season so far, in case, you know, whoever's listening to this has been asleep the whole season. He's averaging 27, 12.6 rebounds and 5.9 assists, 1.4 blocks, and he's doing this all in 33 minutes a game, which is freaking incredible. Nice setup, right? How does he rank for you in terms of MVP? What do you think?
I got him first. I don't know. When did we stop using team success to help determine the MVP? When did that happen?
When did we stop, or when did we start?
When did we stop? Because for a long time, the best player on the best team, if it was a clear number one, and it wasn't like they were at least close to everybody else. I mean, I'm not saying Giannis is behind anyone right now outside of that, but that used to be the thing. And the Bucks are the best team in the NBA by record. I think they're still the best team in the NBA by point differential. Giannis sat out a game against the Magic that they lost pretty ugly over the weekend. I think it was Saturday. But I think they still have the NBA's best point differential, best record in the league. And Giannis is putting up these numbers. He's clearly the number one guy on the team. I mean, the only reason that more folks don't take the Bucks' title chances more seriously, the biggest argument against Milwaukee, besides their three-point rate allowed, which I don't see as often as I see people saying they don't have a second, you know, star. Their second guy is Chris Middleton. He is an all-star this season. Let's remember that when we have this conversation. But
I mean, he's kind of an all-star light, but go ahead.
He's an all-star in the East, but Chris Middleton's good, but he's not, you know, your the other second best guy on the contenders is, you know, well, I guess Boston, it's kind of cloudy right now with Hayward not playing well, but like in Philly, it's probably like Ben Simmons or Jimmy Butler. The Warriors, obviously, it's one of KD or Steph. You know, usually there's more of an established second guy. The Thunder have Paul George and Westbrook. Giannis is the guy, and this team is this good because of him. I just like the way he's playing personally and the way the Bucks are playing put together, I just don't think there's even an argument that he could be not the MVP right now. Now I'm seeing Paul George as the MVP. I love Paul George's season. I think he's a first team All-NBA guy.
For sure.
But I just don't think he's MVP right now. I think that's Giannis.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm like, you know, so for me, I don't think that like team success is the be all end all. Like, I think you can be, obviously you can be a team without the best record in the NBA and still be the most valuable player in the league. Like, you know, it means the most valuable player, like who's it, because they have the best record and he is pulling the majority of the load though. I totally agree with you. Like, best record in the NBA. And you know, they could have the best record in the NBA and if they had like four All-Stars on the team, it wouldn't mean as much, right? He could be like the Warriors. Like, nobody's talking about Steph or KD as MVP level talent this year, or MVP in the MVP conversation. Not that they're not MVP talent. But nobody has them in the conversation because they basically take away from each other's accomplishments a little bit. They're surrounded. They're an all-star studded team. The Bucks do not have that. Like you said, Chris Middleton is the second best player on that team. And yeah, he made the all-star, but it's pretty questionable. He would never even sniff it if he was in the Western Conference. And I'll even say if Tobias Harris was in the East when the all-star selections were made, he wouldn't have made it anyway.
We might be getting a little carried away now, but I will say,
I mean,
the gap between Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe is a lot smaller than the gap between Chris and Giannis.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. And like, you know, Giannis is just on another level. Like for me, it's, you know, he's putting up incredible numbers, but it's also the fact that he's doing it on 33 minutes a game. That's insane. Like if he was averaging, if he was doing 36 minutes a game, like you would expect, like somebody putting up these kind of numbers, he would probably be averaging over 30 points. And like, you know, six assists, probably 13 rebounds. It's pretty incredible what he's doing. I mean, I do think that his success is in part the scheme that Bud is running. And I think that he's, you know, he's surrounding him with a bunch of shooters. He's getting him to the rim at will. I mean, Giannis obviously does that. But the system really works well for him. It's sort of tailored to his skill set. So I think there's that too. I think, you know, Coach Bud deserves a lot of the credit for it. And we'll talk about him a little bit. But I absolutely agree. I think for me right now, Giannis is probably the MVP. I know there's a lot of talk about James Harden. And there's a lot of talk about, as you mentioned, Paul George, who I think Paul George is also incredible. And he's clearly having the best season of his career. And, you know, I just don't think he's quite up to that level. I mean, because, again, Paul George, he has Westbrook, although Westbrook hasn't been playing great. I mean, he's been playing great. He just hasn't been playing, like, his shooting numbers are really way down. But I don't really see that there's another. I know everyone's getting, like, hyped up about. Sorry, the game came back up. I got distracted. About Harden. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like Harden is definitely a case of what have you done for me lately. And he just always kind of swoops in here and puts up these crazy, gaudy numbers. But his team's not really winning that much. So to go to your point again, like, when did it become, you know, okay for the guy on the team that doesn't have the best record to be MVP? That would be the case right there for you. What do you think about Harden's chances?
I mean, if he wants to, if he averages like 45 a game for the entire rest of the season, then maybe I would consider saying he's my MVP. Mm-hmm. Part of it too is, I mean, he's still on this crazy 30-point run, which is great. He has cooled off slightly. The beginning of that run, it was more like 40 a game. It was really ridiculous. He's cooled off a bit. Honestly, I just, like, maybe at this moment of time you could talk me into it, but part of me just thinks there's, you know, 25 or whatever games left. I would be shocked if he sustained this for that time. And I think, you know, I think we've seen this more often now in, you know, this world where, you know, we have takes that cycle through faster than like daily news that used to be the how quick things were, you know, every day on First Take or whatever, we'd get new takes. Now it's, you know, hourly, it's social media, it never stops. I think now Paul George is kind of surging up, and I think unless Harden, like I said, goes back to averaging almost 40 a game or whatever, and maybe even drags the Rockets to a higher seed, which I don't think that's very likely. I think by the end of it, it'll kind of normalize, and everyone will look around at the whole season and what everyone did and what everyone's team did. And I think by then you're going to see, okay, yeah, it was Giannis this whole time.
I mean, you would hope so. I do worry a little bit about people getting blinders on when people, you know, when guys like Harden put up these gaudy numbers. But yeah, he has come back to earth a bit. Tell me something. I want to ask you this. Well, first of all, do you think there's any dark horse candidates that could possibly get the MVP? Is there, like,
outside of those three guys?
Yeah. Speaking of teams like, you know, what have you done for me lately candidates, guys that come on at the very end of the year and like put up crazy numbers, is there anybody else you think of?
Well, it's funny because Embiid is someone who was getting mentioned a bit, but now that they added Jimmy and Tobias, I would be pretty surprised if, I mean, Philly won't have the best record in the East. I'm almost positive of that. Just, you know, with all the games that have been put in thus far, I would be really surprised if he somehow won it with this big four / big five, whatever they have over there. Like, that just, it's like we talked about with Golden State. I mean, there's one of the Golden State guys will probably get some votes, and they've both been terrific this year. Well, actually, KD probably won't now that him and the media are in this spat. Maybe Steph will get some votes out of spite. some people might vote LeBron just because, I mean, there's always the argument to be made that he's the most valuable. The Lakers are a dumpster fire without him, and they're great with him. But
I mean, there's still a dumpster fire with him right now, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they kind of are. I think there was, we saw a voter fatigue set in with LeBron a long time ago, He probably got cheated out of some MVPs back in I shouldn't say back in his prime because he's still playing like he's in his prime, but in his early to mid prime, and now we're in his mid to late prime. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone out of those three, Harden, George, or Giannis, could conceivably. Well, you know what? Jokic would be the one other guy. Oh, Jokic is the guy. He got some love for it earlier. The Nuggets are still up there, although they've been floundering a bit lately. If Jokic really balled out the rest of the way, and I guess Kawhi, you could say too, but he sat out so many games and that kind of killed his narrative early.
Totally. I don't know about the Jokic hype, man. I like Jokic. I think he's a good player, but that's a little ridiculous. I mean, like, when does a guy...
I can't wait to...
Go ahead.
I can't wait to see what it's like with him in the playoffs. I really can't wait to see if he can stay on the floor when they try to stretch him out.
Yeah, for sure. And he might have a problem there. And I kind of feel like exactly for that reason, I don't really take the Nuggets that seriously. I just think he's going to be more of a liability than he will be a positive with his passing. Seriously. I mean,
if you have one glaring weakness, teams like in the regular season, it won't really come up. But in the playoffs, you'll just get... Like, I remember when I first really, really learned that. It was 2015, the Warriors' first title run, and they were playing the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies actually had a – I think they had a 2-1 lead at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerr puts Bogut on Tony Allen and just stops guarding him. And the Grizzlies just couldn't do anything for the rest of the series. And, you know, it's like Rudy Gobert. You know, I don't have a vote. Shout out NBA. Hey, give me a vote. I'd love to have a vote. I don't have one.
Ooh, me too.
But if I did – yeah, and give Joe a vote too. But if I did – I don't think I would ever – I don't want to say ever. Maybe he'll improve past this. But I wouldn't give right now Rudy Gobert my Defensive Player of the Year vote because I know he's going to get stretched out in the playoffs and not be nearly as effective. Like, there's these guys that have these weaknesses that can be exploited, and you won't see it in the regular season that often. But when everything actually matters,
yeah.
I don't really want to put, you know – most valuable tag on a guy who can get played off the floor.
Absolutely. But that's also a little bit unfair because the most valuable player is a season long award. It's not a playoffs award. We also have, the most valuable in the play or the MVP of the finals.
The finals. Stuff. Yeah. So I know it is, but it's hard not to think about it a little bit.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, we're constantly forecasting and constantly thinking about like when everybody does this, it's a completely natural human endeavor to kind of want to rank things. It makes more sense in your everyday life, right? And we have this need to rank NBA players to say who's better and who's not. And in doing that, like, of course, we need to think about all of the angles. And you, of course, project into the future. I'm not saying don't do it. I do it all the time too, especially as podcasters and writers in your case. You know, it's something you definitely need to think about. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Can you tell me this? Who do you think, could you know the last MVP award, the MVP winner that the Bucks had?
It has to be Kareem.
Yep, it was Kareem, 1973-74.
Yeah, none of the guys in the 80s were quite good enough to get it. You know, Marcus Johnson and Sidney Moncrief had some great years, but they would never... The Sixers and Celtics always had better guys, if not teams in the West.
Yeah. Speaking of that, if Giannis won this season, like, what would that mean to the franchise? It would be pretty huge. I mean, you live there. Can you sort of feel what it would mean for the fan base?
Absolutely. I mean, right already, you know, just this team being this good right now in the regular season, which most of these marks haven't happened since the mid to early 80s, if not the 70s when Kareem was there. There's a whole different energy around the Bucks. I mean, even 2001, which was the last team before now to make it, I mean, I shouldn't say that because this team hasn't done anything yet, but that the 2001 Bucks were the last ones to make it out of the first round of the playoffs. That hasn't happened since. But even those Bucks, you know, it was a little different. I mean, they might have had a shot at the title too, but they didn't have the dominant player that Giannis is. They were never the complete world killers that these Bucks have been this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of people, younger people, are experiencing this for the first time, this kind of hype when it comes to the Bucks. And some of the older fans, I think, are starting to remember what it felt like when, you know, Kareem was in town, and Bucks fans really did believe that anybody who came to town, they would lose the other team. I mean, any night, like, whoever it is, you know, they think the Bucks can beat anyone. It's a lot of fun. You know, I see more Bucks gear than ever before.
Right.
The new arena helps for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, there's a lot of energy. And I think the MVP would be a great thing. It's a great thing for sure. But these fans want playoff wins. That's for sure. I mean, if the Bucks somehow didn't get out of the first round, and it's starting to almost feel like if they don't at least go to the conference finals, I think this would still kind of feel like coming up a little short. I think that's really what everyone's waiting for, is a nice playoff run.
Totally. Well, you know, let's talk about that real quick. So let's talk about the playoffs. They picked up Mirotić at the trade deadline. The name of the guy who I couldn't remember earlier when I was tweeting with you. I'm like, what is his name? I do this all the time. Anyway, they picked up Mirotić at the trade deadline. Like, how big is that for them? How is he going to help them space the floor in a way like that they haven't done already? Is it going to matter in the playoffs?
It'll certainly matter in the playoffs. They've already been able to stretch the floor out a lot. So that won't change too much. I mean, Giannis is really the only non-shooter who plays actual minutes. I mean, there's some guys who aren't shooting well, but they're all capable of shooting. And he actually, Giannis is shooting like 46% in February. So we'll see how much longer he's a non-shooter. But that would be
that's
something.
Scary.
That's terrifying for 29 teams. But Mirotić, the big thing about him is he's probably not going to start. You know, he's going to be a backup. A reserve, I should say. Backup almost sounds demeaning. Mm-hmm. But the one weakness on the Bucks roster, you know, they have enough guys who can handle the ball, whether it's a point guard or Middleton or Giannis. They had enough wings for sure. DJ Wilson being a real thing this year means they had enough big wings. But they did not have a really solid option, sort of like a 4-5 mix. They can play with Giannis. They can play with Lopez, with DJ Wilson. That kind of – that reserve, but really making sure you have a solid two deep at every position, at least rotation. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that. You know, they had Thon and Jason Smith going into the deadline. Jason Smith, even this great Bucks team, somehow when he was on the floor, they were terrible. It didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it was not many minutes, thankfully. But apparently the nicest guy in the world, like the Wizards totally loved him, but just wasn't a factor for the Bucks. Thon is maybe going to be good someday, but he's just not there yet. And the Bucks managed to turn those two guys plus 4 second-round picks, but two of them are – I mean, one is probably nothing. One's going to be a bad pick. So two real second-round picks mm-hmm. for Mirotić, which is like if you could have Thon develop almost exactly like you wanted him to, like perfectly, except a little shorter, a little less fast, but the shooting, the rebounding, the defense, mm-hmm. that's Mirotić. I mean, that's just – it's basically like they used a cheat code to develop Thon into what they wanted from him. You know, a backup 4-5 who can stretch the floor, and that's so crucial. And he can stretch the floor from deep. Right. You know, he's got a playoff track record. He'll help them sort of maybe settle the nerves, although a lot of this core has played in the playoffs at least once together.
Right.
But it's huge. It's huge. I mean, it's like I said, they had one thing I felt like was a weakness. And, you know, there were people in the Bucks community who were like, that's not even really a weakness. Like, it's not really a big deal. I was like, well, maybe, but maybe not. You know, any little thing can be a big deal in the playoffs. They firmed that up. It's hard to think they could have done much better at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think they knocked it out of the park. I think Mirotić was a great get for them. But I think my one concern about them in the playoffs is more Budenholzer coaching them. Honestly, because we've seen what he did with the Hawks, who really overperformed in, what was it, 2015? They got four guys into the All-Star team in the East. And it was ridiculous. And they were clicking on all cylinders. And somehow it all felt like at some point it was going to fall apart. And it did. The difference there is they never had a Giannis Antetokounmpo to play for them. I think they're really scary heading into the playoffs. And you're right. Like, Mirotić is exactly what they need. He's going to be a backup 4-5 that can stretch the floor, and that's going to be huge, and that's going to be really important against teams like Boston, against teams like Philly or Toronto if they play them. But speaking of, does the moves that Toronto and Philly made scare you at all if you're a Bucks fan? Like, are those, because we both think that they did really well by getting Mirotić, but, you know, Philly picked up Harris and Toronto picked, sorry, I'm still half watching this game. I'm sorry. I'm so entrenched in this. And Toronto picked up Gasol. So and those are also huge acquisitions. What do you think? Are you nervous as a Bucks fan?
Yeah, I thought Gasol especially was huge because he's such a good player. I think Philly was good before. They're better now. But, I mean, I think realistically, not even trying to succumb to hype here, I think if you're a Bucks fan, just throw fear out of the window right now. I mean, this is a team that can beat any team in the NBA mm-hmm. and in at least a game, if not a series. And probably maybe not Golden State in this series. That's probably optimistic as long as Steph and KD are both there. The Bucks have had some good success against Golden State, but I don't think they were full strength when they played. But, especially in the Eastern Conference, for sure. I mean, none of these teams – this is a rare occurrence in a conference where none of these teams have gotten out of the conference, like, as they're currently constructed. None of these squads have won the East. It has not happened. It's been LeBron for eight straight years or whatever. Yeah. So,
I'm not sad to see LeBron leave the Eastern Conference because I'm really sick of watching him in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a lot of fun, and who knows – I mean, it would be fun to watch these four teams try to topple LeBron this year, too. Don't get me wrong. But, but it is fun to watch. There's this open field feeling. And I don't think any of the teams should be scared. I think Boston is a little bit. I think they're kind of in their heads right now. Toronto usually finds a way to get in their heads. We'll see what's up with Philly. But I just think for all of these teams, but especially for the Bucks, who have been the best thus far, I wouldn't be afraid of anyone. You know, go in, play the best basketball, and if you're a fan, just, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy every second. This is a great team. You know, John Horst did a great job putting this together. You know, maybe they're not as favored as they were. Maybe they might not be favored at all. It seems like a lot of national media is kind of sleeping on the Bucks, to be honest. But I think they're good enough to beat anyone in this conference.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm excited for the playoffs, man, because there are those top four teams. And, you know, Boston might be struggling right now, but Jesus, every time they play Philadelphia, they just get up for that game. And
oh, yeah.
They don't
like each other.
They're up on them right now as we speak. So I hate Boston. Anyway, what was I gonna ask you? Something
quickly though.
Yeah,
quickly,
go ahead.
Let's not entirely count out the Pacers yet.
Yeah, no, the Pacers
they're still winning
without Oladipo. They've kept it together, man. They're still in the third spot in the East, which is pretty incredible.
They have the same record in their last 10 that your Sixers do going into tonight's games.
Yeah,
that's shout out to them. They play hard. Bud's going to win. Nick, if it's not Bud, it'll be Nick Nurse. Mm-hmm. But Nate McMillan should get Coach of the Year votes for this for sure. They play really well.
For sure, for sure. I was going to ask you about who's – sorry, I'm just watching a foul. this is going to be the worst podcast, man. I'm sorry. I should turn this off. In your mind, I'm trying to read my outline that I put for myself here because I totally lost my place. I'm like watching TV with one eye and talking to you with the other. In your mind, like, does Bud have a really good shot at Coach of the Year? Because it was, you know, we were talking about him a little bit earlier, and I really do think because the Bucks are so good, like number one team in the East, number one team in the league. And they turned it around since like last year. They basically had the same roster, but they had Jason Kidd as their coach.
And Joe Prunty.
By the way, I find it hilarious every time I hear a rumor that the Lakers want to bring in Jason Kidd to be
his
coach.
He's the heavy favorite right now somehow.
I'm like laughing out loud. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I was going to say, I would never want to be on LeBron's team ever. He's the worst GM in the world. What were you going to say?
I would love to see Jason Kidd try to implement his old Bucks defense there where everyone has to run off ball all the time and move and you're constantly, you know, constantly like storming the ball. I'd love to see him try to get LeBron to do that for 40 minutes a night. I would love to see Jason Kidd try to get LeBron to play that way.
Good luck. I'd also like to see Jason Kidd try and get LeBron to respect him. So that's
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy. Anyway, so do you think Budenholzer has a good chance at the Coach of the Year? Is he leading it for you?
Yeah, I think he should be. I mean, Nick Nurse certainly gets a lot of credit. I think he's done a good job. I see a lot of Raptors people have a lot of little squabbles with him though, so that's interesting to me. I think Bud has it locked up. I mean, we talked about the best record thing already, but like you said, their only real changes to the roster were like Dante DiVincenzo, Ersan Ilyasova, who. Oh, thank God they have Mirotić now because Ilyasova's minutes have not been great for almost all the season. And Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez has been super important.
He's been playing out of his mind, man. What's he's hitting over like 40% from three, isn't he?
I think he's in the 30s right now, but I'm not positive. It just feels like that because you're not used to seeing a guy that big take and hit so many.
That and the fact that he hit eight one night when he was playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, oh, he's so hot and cold. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, true.
He's either hitting eight or he's hitting one.
I know. I watched him in Brooklyn, so it's fine. I like him. I have a soft spot for Brook Lopez, but yeah, he's hot and cold. You're right.
Yeah, but I mean that was a guy who like basically just didn't get signed for a long time and the Bucks brought him in later. Like the Lakers didn't really want him. I'm sure other teams could have had a chance. And the Bucks signed him for like 3 point something million. It's not like he was like this big free agency addition or offseason addition, like you know, the Raptors added Kawhi and got better. And it's like, well, duh. I mean, that's kind of how that works. If you get Kawhi Leonard, you get better at basketball and Danny Green and now Marc Gasol. So I think the voters will look at the talent differences from this year to last. And I think Nick Nurse deserves credit for integrating that. But, I mean, Bud brought in a whole new system and really, really weaponized this team. And I think right now it's kind of a slam dunk that he'll get it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Tell me this, as an objective observer, who do you think comes out of the East? Like if you had to put those four teams, the big four at the top of the conference, who do you think comes out of the East?
Give me the Bucks. Give me the team with the best player in any series. Yeah, I'll take the Bucks.
All right. But, you know, I will say that I do think that Embiid gets underrated. He's so freaking skilled. I don't know. And if Philly's going to do anything, they're going to do it on the back of Embiid. But, yeah. But I don't disagree with you. You know, Giannis is pretty special, man.
Philly is interesting to me because I feel like, and I wrote this on whiteboard today or yesterday, I think JJ Redick's importance to them is very undersold.
Oh,
I think
so undersold.
And I think he's a little pissed off about it, honestly, because in the first, he had two straight podium games after the quote unquote Big Four that he's not a part of unveiled. He led the team in scoring those two games. But the first one, Jimmy was kind of trying to make it sound like some of his shots were, I think, easier, and JJ really wasn't having it. Or no, Redick was saying that he doesn't get that much help, and Jimmy was saying he gets more help, and everyone laughed about it. Maybe it was funny. I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if JJ Redick is a little pissed off about being the fifth guy on the Big Four. When I mean, without him, like if he were to miss some games, I think they would be noticeably worse. I mean,
you see it every time he misses a game, man. Every single his spacing is so his perpetual movement and his spacing is so important to this team.
Well, and they have four of those guys are better on ball. They can play off ball. I'm not saying they can't play off ball. Like Jimmy and sort of Embiid and Tobias, you know, they can catch and shoot or whatever, but those are players at their best on ball. And, you know, I think Tobias is the best about this. I think the other three are kind of sometimes have a little bit of like, I could use some more touches. I could use some more optimization for me, everything else. I think getting Tobias will help because I think he's such a like good natured guy. It might help their locker room. But JJ is the one of the five that is like, no, I don't need to hold the ball. Like I run off ball. That's what I do. That's where I'm best. And I don't know. I think he's very important there. I think their dynamic interests me a lot. I usually don't buy into chemistry or body language or whatever else, but that group is interesting to me in that sense.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I would absolutely agree with the JJ Redick thing. And I think also, you know, Tobias Harris bringing him in, he's also a little bit like JJ, as you mentioned. I do this every time. I always try not to talk about the Sixers, but fuck it, I'm a Sixers fan. he can move off without the ball. You're right. He can do both, actually. He's good with the ball in his hands and good without, he can catch and shoot. So I think having two of those guys, you saw it in the first two games, having Tobias Harris there opened up the floor for JJ Redick so much. And you're absolutely right. He is so key to everything they do on offense. The problem with JJ is his defense has just totally fallen off a cliff this year, but aside from that, he may be one of their most important players, so I have to agree with you there. And I'm not just saying all this stuff because I'm a Sixers fan, although I am a huge Sixers fan. I think Toronto still scares me in the East. Boston, of course. Boston actually just makes me really irritated because I know everyone was saying, like, Boston's going to be a super team. Boston's so good, da-da-da-da-da. I honestly think that they're not as good as they're hyped to be. Really?
No. I think they're almost superstars. To be underrated, but they're not.
No, they don't have superstars on this team. I know everybody's like, oh, they're going to be a superstar team. No, they're not. Like, I'm sorry, if Jason Tatum is your best player or your second best player, Jason Tatum is a good player. He's not a great player. He's still in his second year, and he's averaging 16 points a game. Like, can we please calm it down with the Jason Tatum hype? For fuck's sake. I'm so sick of, like, and the Boston fans are so freaking triggered, man. Like, oh my God. Here I go. Let's change the subject.
Whatever works.
I'm going to get into all my own feelings. I'm also watching the Sixers, you know, Celtics game right now. So this is, let's move on. Did you watch the draft?
The All-Star draft.
Thank you.
I had an interview during it. I kind of went back after and saw like the funniest moments and looked at the rosters and everything.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. I got home right after it ended. Right home. I got right. Ugh,
it was quick. If it was quick. If I'm not busy, I'll watch it next year. Cause I was worried it was going to be like some elaborate production with way too much extra stuff. I liked that they made it simple.
Yeah. Same. I thought they were going to have them in a, like, for whatever reason, I thought they were going to have like all of them in a room together. And they were going to, I know that's what I would imagine in my head. And that would have actually been for way better television. So you could see all the guys' reactions at once. It would have been kind of hilarious. Well,
what they should do is have it like the day of the game. So everyone can be there. Weird to me to have it so early. I think that'd make it a lot more fun. I mean, who cares? Like, really? Is it the teams need to get to know each other or practice? Come on. No one cares about that. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it would be really interesting if they did it the day of the game. But yeah, I didn't realize they were just going to put the two of them on camera with like a headphone in their ear and, or, you know, earphone, earbud, yeah. Whatever. I thought it was like slightly amusing. I saw some of the highlights, but it wasn't like, I don't know.
It was basically a fantasy league draft. Like, yeah. If you have to Skype someone into your fantasy league,
it was kind of weird. Who do you think got the better team?
So see, this is the thing. Everyone's saying, oh, LeBron's team is going to wipe the floor with Giannis's team, this and that. Mm-hmm. LeBron's team has the better players. Mm-hmm. I think Giannis's team has the better all-star players because he got guys who are going to try.
Right.
Giannis's team is not the guys. Steph is there because Steph picked Giannis last year, so he wanted to pick Steph. But like I think Embiid's a guy who would try anyway. Paul George might, maybe not, because I mean he's been there enough times. But like Kemba doesn't go often. This is Middleton's first one. Jokic is relatively new. He did have Simmons, but then traded him to LeBron's team for. I know. Clutch reasons. So now he has Westbrook. Westbrook will probably try to. He's Westbrook. Blake's not going to do shit. Bobby, I wouldn't either if I were him. He's probably tired from carrying the Pistons all year.
Yeah.
But like Russell's first all-star, Vucevic's first all-star, and then he has Lowry for spacing. So I think he got guys that are going to try hard, which I like that about his team.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you put Giannis and Joel on the same team together. It's just kind of like – and Steph Curry. That's going to be fun. If you look at the starting lineups, I mean – the East starters are giants compared to the West, except for Kevin Durant. But
yeah,
it's, I don't know, man, it'll be fun. If you line them up, it's Giannis, Steph, Joel, Paul George and Kemba on the starters on the East. And then Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie, LeBron and Kawhi. I don't know. It's sort of a toss up. I think obviously the weak link there would be Kemba, although Kemba's great. I love watching him play on occasion. Sometimes he just does too much.
I thought Beal should have started over him.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think Kemba started so hot that he got in that way. But honestly, I think it was an ankle he tweaked several weeks ago. And when he came back from that, he's still good, but he wasn't like insanely like maybe he's going to be an MVP candidate good like he was few weeks of the year.
Those first few weeks were really incredible. And
he was insane.
It was insane, yeah. The thing about it for Bradley Beal, like I love Beal. I love his game. I love how he plays, all that stuff. But his team was just hot garbage for most of the year. And still is, by the way. They're still hot freaking garbage. And you have to knock him for that, you know? Like I can't put you as a starter because your team, and your team is trash. I mean, obviously the starters are picked mostly by fans, or half by fans anyway. So I think Kemba's deserving to be in there. I don't know. Are you going to watch it?
I mean, like not intensely.
Yeah.
I might. I think we're talking about doing a podcast episode right after Kane and I. So maybe I'll have to for that reason. I usually don't really care all that much.
Yeah,
it's like cool. I guess. I mean,
it's
fun. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I don't really. I usually get sucked into 3-point competition, and as much as I hate the dunk contest,
I'm protesting the 3-point competition this year.
Why?
Davis Bertans should be in the fucking 3-point competition. Davis Bertans got robbed.
Well, isn't it Davis for starters?
Excuse me.
See, nobody even knows who he is. You can't even put him in
I would know the right pronunciation if they had picked him for the 3-point contest.
That's it. It's their fault. Their fault that nobody knows how to pronounce his name. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I haven't been watching Davis Bertans play this year. Sorry.
Davis Bertans is a sniper.
All right. So I don't even know who's in the 3-point contest, to be honest with you. I'm probably going to.
Dirk is in there, even though he's shooting 7% from three.
he's what, 45? I don't know.
41, 40? Yeah.
He's almost as old as I am, but I don't play basketball.
Not professionally, at least.
No, not at all anymore. I'm retired, man. I'm one of those guys that every time I pick up a ball, I get hurt. So I'm just done. What was I going to say?
Classic Sixer.
Yeah. Low blow. Fair, but low blow. What was I going to say? I usually end up, for me, I really like the skills challenge. I don't know why. It just seems like more fun to me than any of the other competitions.
It is weirdly. Do you have the roster for that up this year?
I'll pull it up.
I'm still mad about this Davis Bertans thing. Like, I shouldn't care. I know I shouldn't because, like I said, I don't really care about the All-Star stuff that much. I mean, I think Middleton's in it, which is cool, and he's had, like, a good but not great shooting season. Like, honestly, Davis should be in over Chris, probably, if I'm being honest. It's kind of, like, it's cool that the Currys are in it, and you can say they're both deserving, but that kind of just feels like – It can feel it's. I mean, it is. It's that's how it works. But it's like such a marketing thing. Like, watch, you know, Dirk's last time and the Curry brothers square off in the 3-point contest is how they pick the teams. Which whatever. I mean, I guess it's fine. It would have been fun to see. They should have put more fun guys. Like put Brook Lopez in there. You know, yeah. He's not as good of a shooter, but at least like he is a real 3-point shooter, and it'd be fun to watch him in there.
So I just pulled this up. I don't know if this is right. So it's the 2019 Taco Bell Skills Challenge, and it says the participants are Mike Conley, Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, Nikola Jokic, Kyle Kuzma.
Okay, good.
What?
I said good because I heard some big guys. I like when there's big guys.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma, Jason Tatum, Vucevic, and Trae Young. I don't know. That seems pretty good.
That's fun.
Weird that Mike Conley's in there. Like, how is Mike Conley in there? He's like a 12-year vet.
Mike Conley just wanted to finally take part in an All-Star festivity, he never gets to do in the West.
I know. I feel so bad for him. I know this year wasn't his year. He started out really hot again, but, like, I feel bad. I feel like he's gotten robbed at least once.
If Oladipo was healthy and the Pacers swung a trade for Conley, this would be a very interesting Eastern Conference top five, even more than it is now.
So last year, Spencer Dinwiddie won it, but Kristaps won it in 2017. So yeah, like, and then Karl Anthony Towns. I was thinking there was a couple of big men that won it. Karl Anthony Towns and then Kristaps won it back to back. So
who was 2015?
2015 was Pat Beverly.
Yeah, I remember that was him and Brandon Knight were in the final. That was the last year I watched the Skills Challenge. I was supporting my guy, Brandon Knight, who got snubbed for All-Star that year. Kyle Korver got it.
Do you know who won in 2014?
I could not tell you.
It was Trey Burke and Damian Lillard together. They both won it.
God.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Really anyway. Missed out on that one.
What are we even talking about? Listen, do you want to talk about one more thing? Let's do a little bit of talking about the... Oh, God, if the Sixers would just stop turning the ball over. Sorry. Quick aside for you. Now they're down by freaking 8, just like that. I hate the Celtics so much. It's 49 seconds left in the second quarter.
Oh, okay.
The Sixers have turned the ball over on every single possession. The Celtics kill them. I don't know how they... But yeah, it's tough to win that way. You remember back, I think, what was the year that the Warriors finally got to the championship? They finally got past the Clippers because the Clippers 15. Were like, it was 2014. Yeah, the Clippers were always
14,
like,
15, yeah.
Big brothering them and beat them in the playoffs. And we're like, you know, this team is really good. They have a lot of potential. If they ever get past that team, they'll be all right. This is why I don't have any confidence in the Sixers this year, because as much talent as they have on this team, they can't get past the bum-ass Celtics right now. The Celtics who cannot get along and have all kinds of discord in their locker room, and like, the talent's not that good. Every time – I say the talent's not that good, but whatever. I'm just talking shit now. But every time they play the Sixers, they get up for that game. I just feel like the Sixers need to beat their big brother, and they just can't seem to do it. So I have no confidence.
What is the seeding right now? Is it the Bucks, the Raptors, the Pacers, and then 4 or 5 is Sixers Celtics?
Exactly. Good call.
I would not feel great about that if I were you.
No, if the
that
Sixers
is
have
not
to play,
the series I would want.
No, me neither. If the Sixers have to play the Celtics in the first round, it's done. It's over. It's done. I'm hoping.
So does the first? So the let's like the Bucks are play the 8th seed right first. They'll win, and then they play whoever wins 4 or 5, right?
Yep.
So then the Bucks would play. So let's say the Sixers. You'll get the Celtics in the first round, or probably not until way later than I think.
Oh, Embiid just rimmed out on a 3-point shot. Fuck. All right, now you're getting my full undivided attention because it's halftime. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. It's clearly a mental thing. You can see it with some teams, right? Like the Sixers are a perfect example right now of this phenomenon existing in the NBA. Actually, it happens in the NFL and, like, I think all sports. There's the big brother team that always beats the little brother team. And it's not because they have superior talent. It's not because they're better coached, although sometimes that's the case. It's because they're in their fucking heads. This is exactly the thing with the Sixers and Celtics right now. The Celtics don't have the superior talent. They're a discordant mess right now. Everybody's pissed at them in Boston, but you play them against the Sixers and they're going to win every freaking time. And there's no reason for it except for that mental advantage. And it pisses me off because there's nothing you can do about it.
Unless like Aaron Baines frustrates the hell out of Embiid. And I think it really, it affects the whole Sixers team when he's not going like full steam.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's their game plan every time. Frustrate Embiid. They put like it's not just Aaron Baines on him. When they play oh, what's his face? God, come on.
Tice
on him is pretty good.
And Tice is good. I like Tice.
Yeah, Tice is kind of good. What's their starting center? Help me out.
Horford.
Thank you. Horford plays Embiid better than any other center in the league. I swear to God.
Horford's sneaky good at defending like stars. Like Horford was giving Giannis fits a little bit in the first round last year.
Yeah. Horford's really good when it matters. When it comes to like superstars, he's just going to shut them down. I don't know how the fuck he does it.
He's gonna get his 12 points, like his four rebounds, five assists. But yeah, he's gonna do all the little things right and really piss off the other team.
Exactly. He's going to frustrate the hell out of your star. Yeah, he's really good in that way. That's why he's made the All-Star team. It's not because of his numbers, which you really have to respect because a lot of guys just get it on numbers, and that's really annoying. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Anthony Davis debacle, if you don't mind. You cool?
Sure.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Tell me this. So I have some thoughts about it, but like we all know what happened. Davis requests a trade. Clutch Sports was like, you know, he's leaving. The Lakers and LeBron tried to get Anthony Davis to be forced to be traded. Yada, yada, yada. He's still there. They didn't trade him. Who do you think? I mean, this is a really bad look for a Clutch, for Anthony Davis, for LeBron, for the Lakers, for Magic, and for the Pelicans. Who looks the worst right now? Because this is just a freaking shit show.
I think easily the Lakers. I think like the player in question, Davis. I mean, everyone, you know, had their pearls clutched when Kawhi was getting his way out of San Antonio, and like no one cares now. No one talks about it. No one cares. I don't even see Spurs fans that mad at him anymore. Mm-hmm. I think the Jimmy Butler stuff is pretty much all but washed over. It kind of cost him an All-Star berth this year, I think. But otherwise, I think people don't really care. Like people are just over it. Like I think once Davis is on his new team for a while, people are gonna forget, you know, basically that all this happened. And I think, you know, the Pelicans have not been good for so long. I think a lot of people saw this coming anyway, even without the reports or whatever else. I think it's the Lakers, like, because they have to answer to people that matter about this. Like the Pelicans, like, whatever, like they have to build a whole new team. Nothing really matters. And their players were pretty energized after all this happened. So who cares? And mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, the Pelicans aren't that relevant anyway, but the Lakers young guys, I think, you know, it would be hard not to be jaded after this. And right after all the rumors and everything, they go into Indiana and just get walloped. And, you know, the Pacers chant hurtful things at Brandon Ingram and JaVale. Poor JaVale, who just gets caught in the crossfire in every feud. Like,
wait, what did they chant at JaVale? I don't even remember anymore.
They said, like, not good enough to get traded. Not good enough for Anthony Davis or something like that. Like, that's harsh, man.
That is pretty harsh.
Trying to rebuild your career and you're doing good, and all of a sudden you just get ethered by Pacers fans.
Yeah, by Pacers fans. Pacers fans of all people. Jesus.
Apparently, I've been told they have an intense fan section, and that's who was really responsible.
Fair, but like of all the mild mannered fans you'd think of, or just like the decent fan bases, you know Pacers would be up there. They'd be like.
Indiana really, really, really likes their basketball.
They really do like their basketball. They really like their basketball. No, by the way, credit to the Pacers fans because those chants, pretty darn creative. They get lots of points.
Yeah, 100% they do. So I think the other, like LeBron, I don't think LeBron's going to really, I mean, his teammates are kind of mad at him, but he'll be fine. He's LeBron. He has the rep to live this. And Clutch is still going to be, you know, maybe not all powerful as we learned from this failed, you know, strong arming, but Clutch still has plenty of influence, plenty of other great players signed throughout the league. And I think Clutch and Rich Paul will be fine too. I think the Lakers and Magic, they kind of have some damage control to do now and the rest of the season. And by this not working and them not going after anyone else, I mean, they're not a lock to make the playoffs. And that I think would be a disaster if a LeBron team missed the playoffs for the first time since 2004.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I don't think he'd be thrilled, folks, to miss the playoffs for the first time in 15 years, despite still being at the height of his powers, or at least very close to it.
Yeah. I was listening to Open Floor. I don't know if you listen to Ben Golliver and Andrew.
I have a little bit. Everyone tells me I need two more. No, I hear that they're great.
They're so good, and I talk about them every single podcast, only because I've had Ben Golliver on the show. But they're really good. But they were talking about how, like, you know, imagine if LeBron doesn't make the playoffs this year. That's going to look really bad for him. Because,
yeah,
you know, it's LeBron. You would think, I think he's going to drag them to the playoffs. He has to. He's LeBron.
He's going
to
try.
He's definitely going to try. But if he doesn't, man, what a terrible look for him. Like, Chad, just, you know, like, people are starting to come around to the idea that, like, you know, LeBron creates a really toxic work environment just by nature of who he is. He wants the best guys around him, and he doesn't have time or patience to bring young guys along. So the first thing he does when he gets to an organization is like, all right, trade these guys and give me my coach, the coach that I want, not the guy that you had, right? I want this to work my way, and that's how this is going to work, or it's not going to work at all. And if he goes there, he's locked himself in for 5 years. So, you've got him for the rest of his career, basically. He goes there, and first thing he does is try and do a strong arm power play, and it just backfires. And it, you know, you can blame it on clutch, you can blame it on the Lakers, but it's really, let's be honest, LeBron's kind of been running the league for a while now. Like, sneakily on the down low, he's kind of been getting everything he wants all the time. He gets guys out of their contracts, he gets other teams, you know, cut people, and then his team always trades all their picks away. They trade for the old stars or the old players that he thinks is going to get him over the top. And it just, he's not a great, you know, what's the word? Scout of talent.
I mean, it's been a while since any of his big moves worked.
Right. It's terrible, but he keeps doing this. He keeps doing it over and over. And if it finally happens, like, he goes to the Lakers and he's supposed to be the next guy, he's going to be better than Kobe and bring them a championship. If he goes there in his first year, they fail at cooing anyone to the team. Nobody wants to go there. You know, like, it's LeBron. Like, the allure of playing with the best player in the world should make guys want to come, right? They're the Lakers. They're in LA. Nobody wants to play with them because of the environment he creates. And then you fail to make this trade happen. And honestly, I'm not sure they're going to be able to pull it off in the offseason either. Like, and if they don't get to the playoffs this year, God, that looks just terrible for him. So now all your guys are going to be pissed at him. They're going to end up having to sell off all their young talent. Not that, you know, clearly their young talent's not that great anyways, but I just think it's a terrible look.
Yeah. And the really interesting thing is I've heard, you know, members of the basketball intelligentsia or whatever, like, I think Zach Lowe for sure said this, like, they might not be the front runners for any of the big free agents this summer. Like, I don't think Kawhi is going there.
Yeah.
You know, the Sixers have every intention of re-signing both of their upcoming free agents. We'll see what happens with Kyrie and the Celtics. And
I could see Kyrie leaving. I could see Kyrie leaving and then LeBron, but that's about it.
Go to the Knicks, and that's the talk right now. You know, if Kyrie leaves, him and KD could go to the Knicks. Maybe KD could stay. I think the Clippers will probably get someone because they're wide open, and the nice part about that is you get your own LA team. You don't have to be on LeBron's team. So, you know, it's tough. I mean, the Nets are going to try to be a player. So even if, like, there's a chance that all the guys stay or most of the guys stay, and then you have to beat out these suitors who are, like, that's literally their only goal is to get a guy next year. You know, the Knicks, the Clippers, and the Nets are all very much set up to be like, here, come, this is your team now. It's a major market. We have cap space. We can put guys next to you if that's what you want to do. I mean, it's going to be tough for the Lakers. And if they miss the playoffs, and it could get ugly there. Could get pretty ugly there. You hate to see it.
I hate to see the Lakers not succeed. Think about it this way. If you're, say, Kawhi, right? And, well, I think he's already been pretty vocal about not wanting to play with LeBron. But if you're Kawhi and you really want to go to L.A., which team are you going to choose? The one where the superstar always puts the team in a bad position halfway through the year and, like, there are always rumblings about how unhappy it is and the coach is always, like, on the hot seat? Or are you going to go to the organization with Jerry West and had a ton of picks and a lot of cap space and a really, really positive, good owner? Like, which one are you going to go to?
Yeah, I mean, I think you might be overblowing the evil LeBron thing a bit.
Stop, but I am not. LeBron's
but
evil.
I see the point. You know, I think the Clippers are very appealing. And, you know, I think they're starting to now get over the whole they're the Clippers thing. I think Ballmer has been great for that friend. And Jerry West is a freaking wizard, man. I mean, They got Zubats for nothing. I like Zubats. I think that was good for them.
And they got the Sixers, though, overpay for Tobias Harris. I mean, even though I think he fits the Sixers perfectly, I still think that they may have overpaid a bit for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry West is freaking good, man. What, he's like 92. It's crazy.
His track record is insane for when he's the executive places. Like, it's never not worked out.
Yeah, yeah, he's amazing. I don't know. I don't really have that much else to say about the Anthony Davis thing. Where do you think he ends up this year? I mean, here's one thing I will say about the Pelicans. I really thought that they should have been selling him off at the trade deadline.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah, I was wrong. I think they did the right thing. I absolutely think they did. Well, you know, they did the right thing. They can get more for him this offseason. I think part of my motivation was that I really didn't want the Celtics to get him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So then that would make sense. I thought it would be interesting if before Tobias and everything else, if the Sixers offered like Ben Simmons, Fultz, and the Miami pick.
I am so sick of the Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis talk. It's ridiculous to me. Like, anybody who says this shit I know it starts from Bill Simmons. He's such a jackass. I used to love Bill Simmons. He was like my favorite sports personality. I can't take him anymore. He's just, it's too much. It's too much. But that whole Anthony Davis for Ben Simmons thing was nonsense. It's always been nonsense. I don't care what Bill Simmons says. If you've watched Ben Simmons play, I'm not giving up on that dude for anybody outside of Giannis. That's it. Like, I'm sorry. They've already got a better player than Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid anyways. I'm calling it right now.
Oh,
shush.
Spicy. it might be a real thing. For the Pelicans, that like the Lakers offer, people were saying that was too much. And I just don't see how you can honestly say that. Cause like,
you know what? They're offering too many of their crappy players. That's too much.
Like, that's the thing. Like, that's not how negotiating works. It's like, you can't just like, it's like, imagine, I don't even know what the parallel to make, like five mediocre things does not equal one great thing. That's not how production, you can't just add up points per game. But, all right, fair deal. Here's five guys who average 5 points. That's worth your 25 point per game player. And I know it's more complicated than points per game, but if you're not trading for a guy that you can credibly believe and sell to your fans, which is important for New Orleans, the please don't move us to Seattle team of the moment. Mm-hmm. Like they need the guy, and there was not the guy in that offer. Like, Ingram has been so
bad.
So like, he's been good at times. He's been so blasé, just like whatever. Yeah. Like, he doesn't seem like the guy. Lonzo still can't shoot despite what LaVar says. You know, you're not going to sit here and really talk yourself into Josh Hart or Zubats being a franchise player. And
no.
Kuzma's very good, but he's a complimentary piece. But, you know, you look at the guy you hate, Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons, which that probably was rubbish, but that's one of the guys you'd obviously make that trade for. But I think it'll come down to the Celtics will have a good shot. I think the Clippers might try again now that they got some more draft picks and that Tobias deal, and they'll have cap and everything else.
I really think the Clippers they might be the destination. Go on.
They might be. I think it'll be real interesting to see who gets that first pick. I think if the Knicks get the first overall pick, if I'm the Pelicans, I make that deal work, and I like take like Cantor and the pick and something.
But
get Zion.
Cantor's not with him anymore. But,
oh, he'll be, yeah.
But we don't even know, you know, do you really think that the Knicks would trade that pick for AD? I don't know, man.
Yeah, because they would do it, and they would also bring in other stars.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They're not the Hawks. They're not the Bulls. They're the Knicks. They're the New York capital of the world. KD's agent/business manager, Rich Kleiman, is a big Knicks guy who it feels like, and people report, wants to bring KD there. So if you have the assurance you get one or both of KD and Kyrie, and you trade for Anthony Davis, I mean, you're a juggernaut immediately, obviously.
That's true.
And then, like, whatever. I mean, Zion's great, and maybe he ends up being a franchise player, but you flip that every time if you can get those three guys instead.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. And that would really piss me off because, damn it, I don't want the Sixers to have to contend with that in the future, too.
I mean, that team would be they'd have no depth, probably. They'd have some nice young guys, I guess, but that would be – the talent there would be ridiculous if they can stay healthy.
I mean, and then wouldn't it be great to see KD end up having to play his old team in the finals?
I think I thought it'd be fun if KD went to the Lakers and the Lakers and the Warriors faced off in like the Western Conference Finals, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
I would have to root against KD every time, man. He's been he's like, that's a whole other thing we can talk about with the blasting Ethan Strauss and news conference and all that stuff. I don't know what's going on with that dude, but like, just own what you are, own what you're doing. Like, stop being so stupid. Really? I don't know.
And just give the answer every other guy gives. It's like, I'm not going to talk about that till after the season.
Yeah. I don't really understand. Like, he doesn't even understand. He's the one that created the situation. He's like, why do you guys kind of keep asking me about my free agency? Because you keep signing one-year deals. Like, if you want it to go away, sign a real deal somewhere. Tell people where you're going to stay. And like, you can't just go blasting the media. Like, it's just, he's the new Trump. He's the NBA's Trump.
I felt like that's a stretch from the beginning. I do think constantly asking him about it is a little dumb, because you're not getting anything of any real value. I mean, you're gonna get clicks on whatever he says or doesn't say, but it doesn't matter what guys say right now. I know it's the game and everyone will always ask, but you're not getting anything of value. You're not getting an answer that means anything when it's actually July and guys actually decide. I mean, everyone, literally everyone, says that they're going to stay, that goes. So everyone who stays says they're going to stay. The only guy who went who said he was – no, the only guy who stayed who said he was going to went, go. Wow.
Yeah, it's okay. There
was Dwight. Dwight was like, I'm out of here. And then they won a game and they gave him a bunch of candy on the bus, and he signed his player option and stayed in Orlando. And that was a whole mess too. But
yeah.
I a little get where he's coming from, but obviously he's completely overblowing everything.
Of course. You know what really bothers me? Here's the thing that really, really bothers me about it. So he complains about the media. Why does he have to talk to them? Like, these guys go and da da da. And he's talking about, why don't you just talk about what I do on the court? Like, what, you know, about my actual job, not about, you know, what I'm thinking about outside my, like, these guys are also trying to do their job, dude. Like, this is their job. They are trying to be the best at their profession, just like you are. And their profession happens to be like asking you what the fuck you're doing. You know, like, this is their job. I'm sorry. Like, you get paid. You have to be there. You have to be in the conference, not conferences, the press conference. You have to be there. It's part of your job. So just like, do it and shut up. God. Like, I'm sure these guys don't really want to be like asking the same freaking questions over and over again. Right. Like, I'm sure everybody that's in that press conference is just like, yeah, oh great, I want to ask him the same thing that everybody else asked him in the room. Let me do it one more time. I'm sure that's really like, that's what they said in there to do. They're trying to get to something else that they can write about, something they can talk about. And like, this is, you've given them something to talk about. So if you don't want to answer the question, then stop playing it this way. He's just become really annoying. I'm all out on Kevin Durant right now.
I can tell.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no patience for idiocy. That's all. He's just being an idiot. I'm not saying he's not redeemable. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. He's clearly one of the best players in the entire world, but he's just being a bit of an idiot right now.
He's being very sensitive, that's for sure.
He just reminds me of myself, and that's all. And, so I really hate him. Anyway, Ty, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with me and talking about all this nonsense and listening to me complain about the Sixers again.
Absolutely. It was a blast.
Yeah, man. You're welcome on anytime. I really enjoyed having you on. So tell everybody again where they can find you, and I'll let you go.
Man, I do the whiteboard at the Step Back, which is my daily NBA thing. I do the Eurostep podcast, spelled GYRO, everywhere you find podcasts. But I link all of it on my Twitter. So, you know, if you're on Twitter, check me out on there at Ty Windisch, TIWINDISCH. And I thank you in advance, anyone who comes and follows or whatever else.
Cool, man. Ty Windisch, everybody. Go check him out. And that's going to do it for me for this week. I'm going to try and do it again every week, every single week. I know I missed one, but I'm getting back into it. Anyway, I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.